This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinsa, the world's first smart thermometer. I always keep Kinsa in my arsenal of mom tools. It tracks my daughter's temperature, symptoms, and medications so I don't have to. And it keeps her entertained with games while we wait. Check it out at kinsahealth.com.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. It's episode 23 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker, and I'm tired. You guys, it's been a crazy long couple of weeks after the Thanksgiving holiday. We've been going full steam ahead with plans for the fundraiser that is actually happening the day this show is released. We're doing our fundraiser, a live taping of Motherhood in Hollywood at Acme Comedy Theater in Los Angeles, to raise money for an organization called No Kid Hungry. And they provide meals to hungry kids all over the United States. So for just $1, we can provide meals to up to 10 meals for hungry kids. And planning an event, I don't know if you know this, it's hard. It's a lot of work trying to get people just as excited about a cause as you are, and also excited enough to want to open their wallets and spend money. You know, I've been asked so many times on Facebook. Like, I feel like I'm constantly getting invites to go to fundraisers, charity events, and things like that. And I honestly, you know, and never really think about it. I just, if I can go, I go, and if not, I just decline or ignore the event. And I think that's what I'm realizing a lot of other people do as well, because I know I'm harassing all my friends and they're like, oh my God, stop bugging us about this fundraiser. But, I don't know. Maybe I should have a fundraising expert, on the show and, kind of pick their brain about what goes into doing a fundraiser like this. And, you know, my whole idea was, I really thought it would be fun to tape Motherhood in Hollywood live in front of like more of an audience, because I'm such a ham sauce anyway. I just thought it would be fun to, you know, goof around a little bit in front of my friends and that sort of thing. And then I thought, well, what if I do it with a purpose behind it? And it's not just like, hey, come see me, you know, dick around. And I thought, well, maybe I'll make it a fundraiser. So I kind of started with that idea. And then I talked to my friends, Mary, Heather, and Retta. And I said, hey, what do you guys think about this? Can you help me out? And then they said, sure. And now it's sort of snowballed into this event that feels a little bit out of my control and a little bit more than I thought it would be. So for anyone out there who regularly throws events like this, wow, more power to you. More power to you. Especially like, Club Mom Me. I know they do a lot of events, the ABC Expo, a lot of mom type events and stuff like that. It's hard work. God, it's hard. I feel like there's an expectation too. I think I might blog about this. Maybe if I can just find the time, let me add that to my list. But I feel like there's an expectation, whenever you ask someone to donate something to you or give you something or give you money in some way, I feel like there's a huge expectation, and I feel like I'm failing it. I feel like I'm not doing what everybody thinks I should be doing, and I'm not living up to that. And I want everyone to feel like they're getting something out of it as well. And now it's sort of spiraling out of control. I'm totally just rambling right now and venting to you guys. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind, but maybe rather than blog about it, I'll podcast about it. But yeah, I mean, you know, when you do something like this, you just don't want to let people down who are sharing their time and their money and their energy with you. So I can only imagine for celebrities who are at a much higher level in the business than I am, what that would be like. You know what I mean? Like, they've got sponsors, they've got, businesses who pay them to show off their watch, you know, like the Kardashians, who I can't stand personally, but they're beholden to all of the people that are giving them money to pimp their products and to talk about their businesses and to, you know, restaurants who give them free food for them to casually show their restaurant sign on their show and that sort of thing. It's a lot of pressure because then if you don't, then they could sue you at that level. I mean, at this level, nobody's suing me. I'm hoping. But anyway, it's just a lot of pressure and it's, I feel like I've learned a lot. I'm definitely going to blog about this. I'm going to be blogging about what I've learned as a novice fundraiser because it's a lot. It's a lot. Anyway, so aside from that though, acting wise, it's been a crazy couple of weeks, you guys. I've had some wonderful opportunities and I've come so close to like booking shows and then you just don't get the call. Like I just haven't gotten the call that like, hey, you got it. And as an actress or any kind of creative soul, it's a hard thing when you're putting yourself out there day after day and you're the kid in the class going, pick me, pick me, pick me. And the teacher never picks you. You know, and the one time they do pick you, you're like, oh my God, this is the best day ever. And then you have to wait another year to get picked again. So, I found myself rushing around a little bit this week, scrambling to find help to watch Channing so I could go on auditions. You know, that's another thing about, you know, being a mom and an actress. If your child isn't old enough to be in school full time, you have to kind of struggle to find childcare and a babysitter. And that can be a big challenge because it's not really a bad thing to take your child to an audition, but it's definitely frowned upon. It's kind of taboo. It's like, you know, taking your child to like a regular job interview. You wouldn't necessarily do that. So I try not to take her if I can help it, if I can find someone. But there are sometimes when I just, no one is available and I can't, my sitter isn't available and my friends are busy and I totally understand that. So this was one of those weeks where I was literally like begging people, please help me. Because I had two callbacks to producer sessions and I definitely did not want to have to bring her to that because, you know, it's not really fair to her either because she has to sit and be very, very quiet. And it just, there's sort of an unprofessional feel about that. So that is definitely an ongoing struggle for me as a working actress and full-time mom. I want to provide the best care and situation for my daughter, but I also want to put my best foot forward in an audition and do well and let them see that I can be professional. So it's the struggle. As many, every industry has it. Every mom goes through it, whatever business you're in. And this just happens to be mine and my struggle. So, but you know what? It all seems to work out. My friends always come through for me or somebody always comes through for me. And if not, then I just take her with me and we deal with it, right? That is what we do. So yeah, that's kind of what's happening with me. How are you guys? I miss you. What are you doing? What are you wearing right now? Okay. The train is going off the rails. I'm very excited, about my guest this week. It is Catherine McCord from, she is the founder of WeLicious and a brand new company called, One Potato. And she's going to tell you a little bit more about that. I first, heard about Catherine McCord and WeLicious when Channing was about 6 months old and we were introducing solid foods and purees and, foods, something in her mouth other than breast milk. And I was so nervous and excited and doing all this research about what to feed her, what can I give her, what's healthy, what is going to, you know, taste good. Like that's a big challenge. There's healthy and then does it taste good? So, Catherine McCord and WeLicious, are such a great resource for moms. And honestly, for anybody who's looking to cook, interesting, delicious, simple, natural foods that you can find at your farmer's market. She has some amazing recipes. I've tried several of them, but there's so many as she explains here on the show. You can't even like possibly get through them all. There's just so many to try. So definitely check out WeLicious.com and I'll put a lot more information on motherhoodinhollywood.com as well. And yeah, I wanted you guys to hear straight from Catherine's mouth just how amazing WeLicious and feeding your kids can be. Here's Catherine. I I want to give a big welcome to Catherine McCord. She is the founder of WeLicious.com. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I have to tell you that when I first had my daughter, Channing, she was about 6 months old and I was in a Mommy and Me class, and we were talking about foods and solids and introducing all of that into her world. And WeLicious was one of the big recommendations from my Mommy and Me teacher, at the pump station here in Los Angeles. So that was my first introduction to WeLicious, and I've been sort of hooked ever since.
I'm honored. Thank you.
So tell me, for those who may not know, tell me how WeLicious got started. What is WeLicious? And also, what a cute name.
Oh, gosh. Wow. That's a loaded question. So
right. I just asked you like four questions in a row. Sorry about that.
I had gone after 9/11. I had gone to culinary school. I grew up modeling and acting and hosting shows. And after 9/11, said, you know what, I'm changing my life. I've always wanted to go to culinary school. This is what I'm going to do. And then after I graduated, I kept, you know, modeling and acting and doing sort of things like that. And then I had my son. And when he was about 3 months old, I started going on the internet and looking for homemade baby food recipes and how do you make a kid a great eater from day one. And I couldn't find any really clear information.
Yeah, there isn't a whole lot out there. I mean, I think there is more now, but, you know, for a long time, I don't think there was anything.
Especially years ago, the evolution of the food blog, there were just a few, like Ree Drum and the Pioneer Woman, Simply Recipes. There were a few, but I got my little camera. I mean, really like my little camera, and started taking pictures of homemade baby food recipes, because we had always, my husband and I had always bought our food at the Hollywood Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, just started making recipes and started this little blog called We Delicious, went online and tried to buy and find a name that suited it. And it just quickly grew from like that original friends and family list, onward, and went from baby food, then as he grew to toddler food, to this idea of one family, one meal for the entire family, opposed to feeling like you're a short order cook for your infant, your toddler, your husband, yourself.
I love that idea. Can I just tell you, out of all the things that I think I pulled the most from out of my Mommy Me class, and you know, the things we talked about with food, the idea of not being a short order cook and not catering to the every whim of my toddler. I love that. That's the one thing I embraced, I think, the most. And how did you come up with that?
Well, I mean, I had written, it was an evolution, I think, even from myself, of just being like, well, I'm not doing this for everybody. We have to figure out, we're going to all have to love to learn how to eat really good foods.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. And my husband and I are both really good, like, we love fruits and vegetables and, you know, all kinds of balanced foods. Mm-hmm. I started writing my book proposal, and that's where it came out of, was just sort of this everyday testing, because the best part about what I do is like, I cook for my family three meals a day. So it's not as, you know, this is all 100% real. I have the best test audience, ever. And really just trying to help families, because I think it is, you know, we're a generation of women that went to college and went right into the workforce. You know, we probably had Whole Foods or drive-through, a lot of prepared food, and this notion of cooking, which was our mothers and our grandmothers, was not really our generation. So kind of bringing it back, because I think a lot of women just, you know, went to college and got jobs, and now you're like, oh my God, I have a baby. What am I supposed to feed you?
Do you find that it's sort of, I don't want to say maybe frowned upon, but there's almost like a backlash now towards moms who do enjoy staying at home and cooking for their kids? And because it was like, it, like you said, it was sort of, you know, our parents' generation, what they grew up on, and like, you know, that family home life was so much more important. And then it seemed to swing the other direction, where it was like, no, women are career minded. We want careers, and we want to work outside the home. And it was kind of frowned upon a little bit to want to be a stay-at-home mom and cook meals for your family. Have you found that to be the case at all, or have you, what are your thoughts?
I don't think it's ever going to go away. I think that the pendulum is just going to swing back and forth. And I don't know what the answer is. You know, I think that you can, you can't, I've said you can't have it all. You can't have friends and your husband or, you know, your wife and your work and your kids, and you can't do it all, but you can definitely, I mean, look, I'm a working mom. I work from home at least half of the time, so that I am there with my kids, you know, at 3 o'clock pickups and, mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's, you're just, it's, you're going to always feel like you suck. just the way it is.
You it's do your true, best. Though. You feel like even when you're doing your best, sometimes you feel like, oh, man, I failed at this part. Or, you know, we're so hard on ourselves as moms sometimes.
I know. I mean, and even in my work, I mean, my work is really trying to find solutions for moms to make the feeding part easier. Because, yeah. Like I said, it's 3 meals a day. It never, ever goes away.
What kind of tips and tricks do you give, give me some of your, what do you do to get your, you know, when your, son was a toddler? Cause you have, more than one child now, right? Cause it all started with your first child and now you have more.
Yeah, I have more. I just had my third child.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause I'm crazy. So I have an 8.5-year-old, a 6.5-year-old and a 3-month-old.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've got a little of everything.
A little of everything. So yeah. What are you doing? Like, what did you do when your older kids were in the toddler stage to get them to eat? Because I'm going through the situation right now with my 2.5-year-old, and she just, all she wants is bread.
Oh, of course.
That's all she wants to eat.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. It's the best thing. But like, you know, I made this wonderful Thanksgiving dinner and all she would eat was a roll. And I literally wanted to just curl up in a ball and cry. I was like, come on, eat something.
I know. And by the way, it does become full. So just watch. It goes in waves. I've been getting to watch it with one of my kids. But I think that first and foremost, that toddler age is the time to take them to the farmer's market on Sundays or whatever day and get them to try. Like, farmers will give them anything, raw mushrooms, a persimmon, there's samples everywhere. Have a little garden, you know, in your apartment or your back yard with like basil plants, and then take them in once they grow and, you know, you should nurture the plants as they grow with your child, teaching them, you know, about the growing process, and then make pesto with that basil. Let them in the grocery. You can pick out any one or two items in the produce aisle. Let's talk about them. And you want to taste them? You know, you get giving kids choice. I think that, you know, there's always this idea that like, here's dinner. And kids are like, well, I'm not eating that, because we tell them, you know, what to wear, where to go to school, sometimes who their friends are going to be. Yeah. And food is the one thing they can give you the like little kid, you know, middle finger and sort of say, I'm not eating that. So I think that the more choice you give them within, you know, do you want the apple or the banana? Do you want the carrot or the celery? Can really help a lot.
Now, how do you address kids and meals for children who have dietary restrictions? Because I learned early on, because I was excited to try to make some of the purees and the, you know, homemade baby foods. And we found out quickly that my daughter is allergic to bananas and dairy. So she's had that allergy. And I'm like, really? Bananas? The one easiest thing that I could like throw in my purse and carry around. But it, she had a couple of pretty severe allergic reactions. So how do you address those in your recipes, I guess?
Well, I think that it's just, you know, it's just avoiding them. There's tons of substitutions. I mean, at least when it comes to dairy, I wrote this article yesterday about kids with autism, you know, and avoiding a gluten-free casein diet and soy. So it's, you know, and I came up with like 40 recipes, really simple, that, you know, avoided those foods, because we don't want kids to feel like they're being deprived of anything. And I think nowadays, more than ever, like there's a substitution for everything. everything. You know, especially like if it's dairy, you go the vegan route and there's almond milk and soy milk and, you know,
coconut. Yeah, we use rice milk. She seems to really like that a lot.
And coconut milk is a great one. Like sweet potatoes with coconut milk is luscious.
Ooh, that does sound delicious.
Yeah. So, I mean, if funny, I think that figuring out substitutions, I mean, banana is a tricky one because it has all that sweetness and sticky, but luckily bananas aren't in too many foods.
Every time I would go online to look for like a smoothie recipe or something like that, they all have bananas in it. So I'm like, but so I've been making it a mission to my mission in order to try to get veggies and fruit in her. She actually loves fruit, so that's not an issue, but the veggies are tougher. To try to find smoothie recipes and recipes that don't have banana in them.
Now, I mean, I'll go with you on a few different ways. With the veggies, I think it's about figuring out, like, my kids love raw vegetables. They
that's nice.
Every night at dinner, that's like they, you know, and heck, talk about easy for me, you know.
Yeah.
But it's figuring out, like, sometimes kids, like, they don't want kale, but they love kale chips. They don't want a baked potato, but they want baked fries. They, you know, it's figuring out, like, you know, even carrots and celery, maybe they love chicken soup, but they don't want them raw. So it's either, you know, puree them, bake them the way that they're cut. Do they like them raw with hummus? Never give up. And for a lot of kids, it can take up to 14, 15, 16 times of just putting it out there. Like, I always recommend to people, buy an organic bag of frozen broccoli and every single night defrost it and put like two florets so that you don't feel like you're spending a ton of money. And then, you know, put some Bragg's or soy sauce or some sesame seeds, let them do it. A pinch of salt, some, you know, hummus, Dijon mustard, like, you know, just keep trying different ways and always make sure you're eating it too. Like making a game of it. Like, you know, look at the tree. Let's mow the tree with our teeth. I mean,
you know, my husband does that. He's so much fun with her, and I think it's like his childlike nature that comes out a little bit, because he'll be like, look at the little tree, I'm gonna eat the tree, and she'll be like, no, eat my tree. But then she'll wise up to us and be like, oh no, I don't want to eat this tree. She's on to us.
She's like, you guys are weird.
Yeah, she's like, you guys are crazy, I'm not eating that tree. We try different tactics, and it's hard. It's a challenge. I think a lot of it too, it sounds like, is just preparation ahead of planning ahead of time. And I know that that can be for me a big challenge, because I'm trying to, you know, get Motherhood in Hollywood going, and I'm trying to, you know, manage my other job. I'm a writer for a news station. So it's hard to try to plan ahead. And so I can't imagine moms who are working, you know, outside the home full time, who are trying to get recipes and things like that together. So it's, what kind of time management tips do you have for those moms? Is it really just about staying up late the night before and, you know, packing things together and freezing things, and what kind of tips do you have there?
I mean, I'm a big fan of Sunday cooking, or whatever day of the week it works.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
So, I mean, every Sunday I make a huge thing of roast vegetables, brown rice. I cook some chicken. I'll just pick four, like, basics. I'll make some pesto, or, you know, I'll cook a big thing of pasta that I can then turn into, you know, pesto pasta with some chicken, or, you know, burrito bowls, like chopped chicken with brown rice and roast vegetables, and dump some salsa on it. You know, like just figuring out, like, tacos, you know, basically just figuring out ways to reinvent these five foods. And I always say, like, keep a list on your pantry or in your wallet or on your iPhone, whatever, of the 10 foods that your child does love. And maybe that's cream cheese and apples, peanut butter, eggs, milk, and constantly mix and match those foods in different ways, so that, you know, you know that you've got the basics on hand and you can make meal from it.
And what do you say to parents who are trying to balance the sugar side of things? Because I, especially when Channing was little and just getting started eating food, I would let her sample like some cake, or like have some, you know, because we were doing a lot of the baby-led weaning, which I would let her touch the food a lot and play with it and, you know, that sort of thing. But now I'm trying to taper off on as much sugar, and I don't know if that's a good idea, if I should just let her eat ice cream whenever she wants. You know, she's so little, and I feel like she has her whole life to be worried about her, you know, what she's eating and obsessing over sugar. You know what I mean?
I think that it's about balance. I mean, I've never, the only thing that I really was never a huge fan of was food dyes. And my kids are very much like, they're funny. My son, unfortunately, I created a monster out of it because he will not eat anything. Even if it's medicine, forget it. Like no food dyes. Wow. But like, I'm all about balance because I think that once you take it away, I mean, I had the mother that was like, you may not have any sugar. And so as an adult, what did I crave? Sugar.
Sugar, of course. Yeah.
So, I think that it's important to be like, yeah, I mean, we had the other day, I was like cutting slices of pie the day after Thanksgiving for breakfast. And my husband's like, what are you doing? I was like, it's the day after Thanksgiving. We have pie for breakfast. That's what we do. You know, and they won't have dessert tonight. It's not that big a deal. If you make it a big deal and you put too much energy into it, then I think that, you know, that's when it's like you're creating you're putting focus on it, and they're like, oh, I know that I'm not supposed to have too much.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like, yeah, you can have one treat a day. Sure.
What do you think? Yeah. I think my husband too, he's been doing this thing where he'll negotiate with her about sugar. If you eat this, then you can have ice cream. If you'll do this, then you can have cake. And I'm like, don't do that, because then she thinks every time, you know, if, I just feel like it will create a bad precedent.
We're all guilty of the, if you do this, if you do that.
Yeah.
Myself included. You know, I just try to stay away from it as much as possible, because it's exactly what you're saying. Like, it's just, no, or, you know, like, I'm going to give you two choices, you know. Do you want? I mean, I'm always, two choices always really works for us. So, you know, I mean,
and like, you can have this or this.
Yeah. And sometimes like, yeah, I mean, you know, my kids like, we'll be at a birthday party. I'm like, you can have the cake now, or you can have dessert later tonight. You know, and
I see.
And often even at night, I'll be like, I'll go away from the dessert and I'll just say, would you like to have apple with peanut butter, or would you rather have a banana? And sometimes it's just taking it away from what the, you know, I've got to have this, like, give them another choice.
Hey there, I want to tell you really quickly about Kinza, the world's first smart thermometer. Kinza tracks temperature, medication, and symptoms, and based on your child's needs, it offers in-app guidance on what to do next. So not only does it remember for me, it tells me what to do, so I don't even have to think about it. I've tried it with Channing. It's super easy to use. You just download the app, plug the thermometer into your phone, and you're off to the races. Check it out at kinzahealth.com, the world's first smart thermometer. And what is your feeling on some of the ways, because when I was learning about, you know, starting feeding and introducing food and stuff like that, it seemed like there were several different ways you could go as far as like the puree route. You could do the baby-led weaning. You know, some people were not wanting to introduce solids at all and just, you know, keep them on the rice or like a rice. Not pudding. That's not what I'm trying to think of. What is that? What is that rice stuff?
Rice cereal.
Yeah. The word cereal just fell out of my head. That's that's when you know you have the mom brain going on. But like, is there one particular type of feeding or way to introduce food that you're partial to?
I think that every child is so different, and you'll see 4-month-olds that are like grabbing or like trying to reach for your food.
Right.
And then you have other babies that like have sensory issues and like even at 10 months are not wanting anything, can't do it. I think that it's always up to the family. There's no reason that your 5.5, 6-month-old can't be eating pureed versions of your food. As long as there's not like too much sugar or salt in it. Because we really want babies falling in love with those natural flavors as much as possible.
Yeah.
And with my daughter, I'm going to do, I mean, I'm going to do, you know, like one food a few days in a row. It's not even for allergy reasons in particular, because that was originally the reason that they did the 4-day wait rule, which was, you give it 4 days in a row to make sure that your baby doesn't have any allergies. Mm-hmm. For me, it's more the 4 days of, well, they don't like, like day one, they spit it out. Day two, they're like, day three, they're like, I like this. And day four, they're like, I love this.
Yeah.
So you want, but if our daughter starts reaching for, other foods that we're eating, I will gladly let her try them.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Like, it just sort of depends on, the child. Channing, our first food that we gave her was like a little chunk of avocado. Mm-hmm. And she just sort of played with it and squeezed it. I think like maybe a teeny tiny bit of it got in her mouth. And we were like, yay, she loves it. We were so proud of ourselves.
Totally. I mean, my business partner's son is 6 months old. And when he was like 4.5 months, he was like eating full meals. I mean, of people food. She's like, I can't stop him. I don't know what to do. I'm like, let him eat it. It's great.
Yeah. There are some kids that have a voracious appetite and they just go after it. But she ate a lot more when she was younger than she does now. And so I'm curious to see if she will grow out of it or if I'm going to end up having a picky eater, because I was so proud at first. I thought, oh good, she's gonna eat everything and she seems to be really enjoying all of this food. And then something changed, like around, I don't know, maybe 16-17 months, and she hasn't really, she doesn't really eat.
I'm gonna say that here, okay, then here's the great example is my daughter was very picky as a toddler. Mm-hmm. And we were always like, ay vey. And there was my son just like eating anything and everything he could get hands on. And now it's totally flipped. My daughter will eat absolutely anything. I mean, weird, out there, spicy, anything. And my son became a vegetarian 1.5 years ago at the age of 6. And now, we're even, back in the
life. Are you a vegetarian or was that something that he decided?
No, he came to it himself. And my husband is vegan before 6. So he eats a vegan diet till 6 o'clock. It's a Mark Bittman food philosophy.
Oh, how interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that by being vegan till 6 o'clock, you tend to eat more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. And I think my son.
And does that mean then he has like some kind of protein at dinner?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So at dinner he'll have like chicken or fish or whatever. Yeah. Okay. But like any kind of lean protein, or just there's no rules after 6. It's not my diet, but I support it. I mean, with these 4 people that eat totally different, I'm able to like figure it out. But then, my son just really came to this and, we just make sure that he gets solid protein and, he has, he knows to eat his vegetables and, but he's 8.5 years old. Like, I can't force feed him steak.
So how does that affect what you make for him then?
You know what? It's really easy. And you would think that it's hard, but I just always, I'll make whatever meal I'm going to make, mm-hmm. Based on honestly what my daughter, husband, and I want. And then I'm able to, make him change it up a little bit. Like, let's say it's like tonight I'm making chicken burrito bowls. Instead of the chicken, I'll give him either some tofu or seitan or tempeh, or I'll put some kind of like nuts in his, or just something that's a different kind of protein.
Okay. That's so that's so interesting to me, because I feel like I don't know what I would do if my daughter said I want to be a vegetarian or a vegan. I would go, okay, and have a total panic and start immediately going online to find more vegetarian recipes.
You really can't. I'm like, I mean, there's so many. We can go to any restaurant. My kids never want to go out to eat. They only want to eat at home. But, for the most part, even like I said to you earlier, like I started this meal delivery company and we get these meals 3 days a week. And we get the omnivore box and I'm always able to adapt it to our whole family.
Now tell me about that. You said it's called One Potato.
One Potato. Yeah. So it's the Wheelicious audience for many years kept saying, okay, we've got the website and we've got the cookbooks and we've got Wheelicious Menus, which is a menu planning company. And just, all right, just send us the food. So Well, so now that is what One Potato is. It's Wheelicious Recipes. Every Wednesday, you get a box with either three vegetarian or three omnivore recipes. And One Potato sends you all organic ingredients to your front door, and it takes less than 30 minutes to prepare. It is, and I'm telling you, from a, like, we went into the beta round when, right when the week that my daughter was born. Oh, so no. I was like, you know, I'm used to cooking. Cooking is like a pleasure and it's easy. And I'm telling you, with an infant and two older ones, it was the hardest. I was like, oh my God. And One Potato, like, totally, I was so grateful for it. And real, I guess I was able to put myself in the place of, you know, a mom that is really like, too busy, doesn't have any time. You know, it's, yeah, it's more the, I became like part of the audience.
That's amazing. So you, do you then select, or you have a team that selects the recipe or the ingredients that go in the box? And then is there like instructions inside the box for what to make?
Yep. No, there is. You get a picture of, they're all Wheelicious existing recipes online. And like tonight is chicken burrito bowls. And it's a Wheelicious recipe. And you get a bag with all of your organic ingredients already measured out. And there's step-by-step pictures. So even someone, like I let my babysitter cook it a few times, and she's never cooked a day in her life. I mean, I'm not even kidding. She was like, this is a knife? Wow.
Oh my gosh.
And it was, that was the reason I wanted her to do it. And she, like, she was so cute. She was like, I did it. Oh my God. And it's just for the person that really loves to cook, but is, doesn't want to shop, doesn't want a menu plan, and just doesn't have a lot of time to cook. I mean, the whole point is that kids can help you with these recipes. Your babysitter can do it. You can do it. Your husband can do it. It's super easy.
And is it catered to more families with like a certain age range of kids, or would it be like for little babies as well? Or would you say it's more like for babies?
No, it's for toddlers, toddlers on up. You pay a base price for two adults, and then every child is $2.99. So it's that it's super cost effective.
Definitely.
We're three parents that start a company. And every week you get a roll of homemade cookie dough
I love it.
And the flavors change every week. So it's really fun. But you know, my thing with it was I wanted it to be organic because I want it to be grass fed meat, you know, wild fish and chicken, organic vegetables without pesticides. I wanted it to be like the best quality possible.
Now that's a really big thing for you, isn't it? Because I know you've talked about natural eating and organic eating. You've mentioned that a few times. So what is it about that that's so important for you?
I just think that things have, you know, in the, they're GMOs, you know, you have genetically modified foods and you have pesticides, and we don't know what they do to especially little bodies. Mm-hmm. If I was going to provide food, I needed to be organic. It needed to be the best quality possible. And that's why what sets the One Potato boxes apart is just the quality of the ingredients is so, so spot on and delicious. I mean, to the point now that my kids have been like, when we're eating some nights, you know, if they get home and I'm cooking and they're not able to help me cook, they're like, is this One Potato? Because they want it to be. And I'm like, you guys, this is the same thing we've always been eating, but they love it. It's really funny.
That's so cute. And it helps them feel like they're involved as well. That's such a great idea.
Totally. I mean, they're always helping me in the kitchen. It's very rare that they're not, but yeah.
So what is the one recipe you think has been your most popular on your website? What is the one thing that everyone was like, this is it. This is the one that I love the most?
Oh my God. I mean, after 8.5 years posting 4 to 5 days a week, there are a lot of recipes.
There are a lot of recipes.
I mean, some of the ones that, I mean, like I love spaghetti pie. That's always like, I've never seen a kid that like didn't just love it. You know, sweet potato fries. Oh my God. I mean, there's so like, many. I only, cause I'm making it tonight and my family loves it. Burrito bowls, vegetarian enchiladas, taquitos.
And how many books do you have now based off of all of these recipes?
I have two cookbooks. So the first cookbook is Wheelicious One Family, One Meal. And the second is Wheelicious Lunches. So I've taken a picture of my kids' school lunch every day for, almost 6 years. Wow. And posted it on social media. So there's, you know, because I want parents to see, like, it is easy to make, like, a visually exciting, interesting lunch that's easy for you to prepare and your kids actually want to eat.
That's a big challenge I'm having right now. My daughter started preschool, and I am literally every day that I send her, she doesn't go every day, but she goes a couple days a week. But even then, I'm like, what do I feed her? And I know it's a hit if I pick up her lunchbox and it's empty, and the teachers, they leave it in the box if she doesn't eat it, so I can see how much she ate. And part of me is like, oh, I wish they wouldn't do that.
Because... isn't it funny, like, how you feel? Like, it's a big thing. Like, we feed our kids three times a day. And, like, when you feel good, when they're like, oh, mom, this is awesome, or delicious, or yay, or yeah, they don't, like, say gross, I should say.
Right, yeah. Channing uses the word yucky. And I'm like, okay, great.
But it's like an achievement. It feels good.
Yeah, I do love it when she eats something I've made, and it it does feel like a big accomplishment. I just feel like I'm in the area of food. I feel like that is the one area that I am not doing as well as I could be. And so that's why I couldn't wait to talk to you on the show, because I feel like I needed a little inspiration to sort of start focusing on, you know, making her better lunches and making her better meals. And I know I can do it. I just think it takes a little more planning and effort on my part. Honestly, I need to.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that the best advice I can say is, like, really write down the 10 foods you know she loves, and, you know, make a commitment that you're going to make not the same lunch every single day.
Yeah,
but, you know, you give her a little variety. Because the interesting thing, that I used to go watch my kids at preschool, and I used to sit and watch these 20 kids eat, and it was fascinating, because you would see sometimes they would be looking over at the kid with the healthier lunch, or they would, you know, they would try things that they might not at home. There's not that, you know, pressure on them. So, you know, I always send things to my kids' lunch that are, you know, that someone might say, oh my God, they're never going to eat that. But they end up, like, loving.
I walked into preschool the other day to pick her up, or a few weeks ago, I should say, and they were having snack, and she was eating edamame. And I almost passed out. I was like, what? She will eat edamame? And they were like, yeah, she likes it. Because she liked, like, squeezing them out of the little pocket. And then I gave it to her at home, and she wouldn't eat it.
isn't that fascinating?
I was like, what the?
Yeah, a lot of schools will do snack. And when parents dumb it down, I'm always like, don't dumb it down. This is the opportunity when kids watch each other. Like, I do fruit and vegetable demonstrations all the time with kids. Like, I'll bring 40 or 50 vegetables and fruits and let them touch them, taste them, talk about them. And I will always get emails from parents being like, my kid has never eaten anything green ever. And came home being like, I had spinach and it was delicious. You know, parents, it's such a mind, you know what? I mean, they just, they want to get you.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think a lot of it is that not peer pressure, because I guess it's a positive peer pressure, but they see each other doing it. And if one's doing it, then the other one wants to do it. And then they're all, before you know it, they're all eating edamame or green peppers or something. Yep. And I'm just like, that's amazing. So I try to at least put one healthy thing if I can in her lunchbox. But if I know if I put, like, everything in there that's, like, healthy, sometimes she just doesn't eat it. And then I just feel like she's been starving all day. And then the teachers are like, well, she didn't eat. And
I always say to parents, like, you have to put in a sweet treat. Like, you should have a fruit, vegetable, protein, carbohydrate in every single lunch. It's much easier than it sounds. Mm-hmm. And always something like a little just sweet treat, whatever that is. I mean, sometimes I put, like, one yogurt pretzel in my kid's lunch, and people will be like, you just put one? Because there's, like, in the lunchbox, there's a special compartment for, like, this, like, tiny thing. But you know, sometimes that's just all it needs.
Yeah, just a little something sweet. And I think, too, it's great that you emphasize healthy eating and organic eating, because there's a lot of parents who get frustrated with the lack of options that there are in the store and at restaurants to feed their kids healthy foods. And so they just end up kind of giving up and, you know, letting their kids just eat junk. And then I think that's why we have a lot of overweight kids in our country right now and all around the world. I mean, not just to judge,
and,
but
and, no, no. But I mean, even restaurants, like their kids' menus are
horrible. Oh, they're horrible.
And you, I promise, every menu restaurant we have ever gone to, if I say, can we buy a half portion of something off the adult's side? Oh, I mean, I think 9 times out of 10, unless it's like a steak, you know, they yeah. always will say yes. Like you can always get a half portion of pasta, a smaller bowl of soup, a half salad, you know, whatever
when
it is.
When did the chicken fingers and the macaroni and cheese thing and become the staple on kids' menus?
Yeah.
Like it seems like every restaurant we go to, it's like grilled cheese, chicken fingers, macaroni and cheese. And it's like, there's no other option.
I hear you. I'm so with you. I mean, my kids won't even eat off the kids. And they're always like, they think that the kids menu is like a trick. I'm like, do you want to like it? They're like, absolutely not. I'm not eating off the kids menu. Because they know it's like, it's just, it doesn't, it's always out of a freezer box.
Do you think that your kids moving forward in life, do you think that they will continue to have this passion and this love that you have for food? Or do you think that eventually they might grow up and go, oh, we're just going to go crazy and eat whatever we want?
No, I mean, yeah, exactly. Just go to McDonald's and be
right.
like, everything.
And mom will just be like, no, my hard work.
No, I do. And it really isn't because of any like greatness. You know, it's just, I think that they like good food. It's not, you know, I mean, Wheelicious food is not, it's by no means meant to be gourmet. It's just supposed to be like the food that your mom made that you loved, you know, it's comfort food, but like healthy comfort food, or healthier. I hate using the word healthy because people always think like, ugh, healthy, no flavor.
Yeah, but it's not going to taste good.
Yeah, but it's just like, this is food. It's just good for you. But you know, it's also the big word that I do like is balance. So let's eat our cookies, but let's also eat, you know, something that's like good for our bodies too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I, like I said earlier, am absolutely thrilled to talk to you because one of the first baby food purees I made for my daughter was a Wheelicious recipe. And so I have been looking forward to talking with you a little bit more about your company and about how it all came to be and kind of picking your brain a little bit about food. So if anybody wants to find you online, where can they find Wheelicious and follow you on social media?
So you can go to wheelicious.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. There's original recipes and articles 4 to 5 days a week. You can go to onepotato.com and sign up for the meal delivery company, which is, I'm telling you, it's a game changer. You can see some of the recipes like for this week example.
It sounds amazing.
And there's Wheelicious menus if you want to do it yourself, but just need you know, the menus and the shopping lists and the tips for getting your kids involved. So those three sources.
That's fantastic. And then you're also on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook as well.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, yep, everything.
All of it.
All day.
Well, I know that you're really busy and you have a little baby, a new baby at home and two other kids, I should say. So I know that you have been really busy. And so I appreciate you so much taking the time to talk with us and share your insights with my listeners.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to talk to you.
If you want more information about Wheelicious, you can also go to motherhoodandhollywood.com and I'll post some notes from the show and also links where you can find more information about Wheelicious and about Catherine. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and have a great week.
Mama funny.
Balls.